Welcome to Yacht Crew Vlogs, where we tell the stories of those in the yachting industry. A behind-the-scenes look that discovers the individuals in the industry, their history, their passions, and what inspires them to do what they do.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Yacht Crew Vlogs right here on Yachting International Radio. My name is Rhea. I am your host, and I'm very pleased to welcome my next guest, Erica Lake from El Crew Co. How are you?
I'm well, thanks, Rhea. How are you?
Good. Well, you came across the social media networks the other day talking about crew, and then you wrote a story, which I read with great interest, all about crew shortages and the reasons behind it. Now, you asked for feedback from crew themselves, from senior down to green and those that are just stepping out. Let's talk about why crew aren't even being attracted to the industry in the first place nowadays.
Oh God, that's a huge area. But I mean, things that I touched on were that I don't feel financially it's quite as attractive as it was, say, 10 years ago, for various reasons, such as, you know, there has been stagnation in the salaries. They haven't really moved with inflation. Plus, then there's the fact that to actually get into the industry now, you have to pay for a lot of courses. You know, back 10 years, I'm using the example of 10 years ago, it could be less than that, could be more than that. But, you know, in those days, you could just rock up to Palma with a backpack and your flip-flops on and some hopes and dreams and try out and do some day work, get paid some great money, have a good time, and then think, yeah, this is cool, I'll do my courses. But now you can't get near the boats unless you've got your STCW and ENG1 medical. If you're looking for deck work, you've got to have at least a powerboat level 2. Some people want yacht masters. If you're interior, you need a food and hygiene level 2. You know, you need this, you need that. It's thousands and thousands of bucks, you know, and then there's the traveling, there's the accommodation. It's a lot. You can't just sort of try before you buy anymore. And I think for a lot of newbies, that financial aspect is a lot. You know, it's a big commitment for something that you might not like. I mean, what if you get really horribly seasick? It's, you know, it's all that money down the drain. And what if it's not as good as you thought it would be, or it doesn't meet your expectations? It's a tough one, that. And I think also there's a lot of pressure on the young'uns today because they don't necessarily have all that cash to hand, so it's coming out of the bank of mum and dad. And mum and dad have high expectations. You know, I didn't spend all this money on you just to throw it up the wall. And it's a lot. So, yeah.
Well, it's interesting when you say about dock walking, because, you know, nowadays you're lucky to be able to even get on a dock because most of the marinas are chucking you out. They're telling you can't be there. When you talk about accommodation, you know, 10 years ago, you could probably get a cheap crew house for, yep, you know, a few hundred euros a month. Now, that's, yep, what they're charging per week, if you're lucky.
Absolutely. Or, you know, backpackers hostels, you know, or somebody's sofa, some couch surfing. But now, unfortunately, I think everyone's cottoned on to how lucrative it could be to be involved in yachting. So, you know, back as far as even some of the sea schools in various parts of the world have created their own courses, like introduction to being a deckhand or introduction to stewardessing, that aren't necessarily accredited. But of course, when they've got mum and dad paying, they could probably talk them into spending a few hundred more, you know, to make sure their kiddies get the right opportunity. You know, oh, if you do this, and there's some very persuasive people out there, and I'm sure they're good salespeople. But, you know, and then, yeah, as you say, accommodation, people are like, oh, crew are going to come in their droves March, April, May. Let's put the prices up. You know, they're not paying for it. Mum and dad are paying for it. Let's put the prices up. And in that, you know, obviously not everyone's that unscrupulous, but you've even got to look at airline travel. There's no such thing as a cheap flight anymore. By the time you've got your ticket and then your luggage, you've probably, you know, had to sell your firstborn or promise the blood of your firstborn to get across here from places like Australia, South Africa, New Zealand. You know, to actually get here now from the Southern Hemisphere, it's just such a vast investment. Whereas, say, 10 years ago, there were cheap flights. They had backpacker flights and backpacker deals. But all that's just, you know, it's long gone now. It's long gone, sadly.
Well, I would imagine just it would cost you probably about 20,000 euros just to get yourself from wherever you want to be to the closest area where you can do your dock walking or tryout, which includes your tickets. Yeah. And then what happens if you stay the month, you don't get work and you go home? That's 20 grand gone.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a lot of money. I mean, it's, as I say, back in the day, you could just be backpacking through Europe. And I used to meet a lot of crew who, that's how they entered the industry. It's like, well, you know, I found myself, you know, in some location. I saw these incredible boats. So I just wandered down the docks. It's like, hey, guys, how are you doing? How do you get a job on a boat like this? And they just said, come on board, do some day work. And that's how I joined in the yachting industry. And it was this wonderful romantic tale of how they found themselves this job on the high seas. But now, I think as the industry's become more, it's tried to become more professional and, you know, with more legislation, and which is a good thing. Unfortunately, there's the negative side, which means that, you know, it's the financial implications for starting out. I mean, we don't have anything like apprenticeships like they do in the merchant sector or in the commercial sector. There's no sort of opportunity for newbies to come in and say, right, you're going to do a deckhand apprenticeship with us. And, you know, whilst you spend your, I don't know, 3 years with us, we'll work you up to get your powerboat level 2 and your yacht master, and we'll ensure you have all these skills. There's nothing like that in our industry yet. And, you know, that could well be a good idea, you know, to implement something like that in the future.
Once they've found yachting, do you think below deck and shows such as that have created sort of expectations that were never there before, and the reality is actually quite a bit different?
A lot of people are blaming Below Deck for giving people unrealistic expectations of the industry, but I don't think you can blame a reality TV show. I mean, can you honestly say you've watched a reality TV show on whatever subject it is and gone, oh my God, that must be exactly what it's like, 100%. I should do that now. You know, anyone with a little bit of common sense is surely going to watch a reality TV show and understand that half of it's scripted. They're all, you know, scripted. There's a lot of things that are, you know, it's not true. It's not true to life. And I don't think that someone who's going to watch Below Deck and then say, right, okay, that's the life of me, then find out how much it's going to cost with all the courses and everything you need to do to, you know, be able to work as a deckhand or a stewardess or a chef or whatever, and then go, yeah, I'm definitely going to do that because that's really going to help my career aspirations to be, you know, an influencer. I just can't see that going all the way through. But then again, I do know of a lot of yachties who are sort of influencers within the industry to a point, but they've created their social media following as a result of their jobs and what they are or are not allowed to post. But I don't think Below Deck is going to attract too many, you know, bad apples, should we say, unrealistic people into the industry, because they're just not going to pay all that money to get there and then find out, yeah, it's not actually like this, is it? It's not like the TV show.
Let's talk about crew retention. Now, we're seeing crew leave in droves. And of course, the pandemic was sort of the start of that. But they're not coming back. What is the reason for this? Why are crew deciding to leave and finding other industries over and above the career that they started with?
Well, I think, I mean, if we talk about the pandemic for a bit, when COVID struck, obviously nobody knew what was going on in any job, in any, you know, walk of life. We were all like, oh my God, you know, rabbit in headlights, what's going to happen? Lockdowns, what? You know, it was a crazy time. So a lot of yachts sort of sat still and did nothing for a bit, but a lot of yachts laid off all the crew, and there was no furlough schemes. You know, there was no, you know, sort of being looked after for many crew. They were just basically sent home. The flight was paid to go home and that was it. And then they were left kind of high and dry by, and not in all cases, but, you know, for quite a number of them. And then, or a lot of people were sort of put on unpaid leave or partial pay. And, you know, people have financial commitments. You've got mortgages. If you've got a family, you might have your kids in school or whatever it is you've got to pay for. I think, you know, a lot of people realised they had to find work doing something, and people started retraining because nobody knew how long it was going to go on for. And it went on for a lot longer than any of us could have really anticipated. And then I think after a little while, a lot of people who were working land-based to make ends meet kind of thing were like, you know what, this is actually all right. I'm not super wealthy, at, you know, in comparison to what I was earning financially on a yacht, but I feel a lot richer in my home life. I actually got to go to my friend's wedding. I saw, you know, my sister have her baby and met the baby straight away. And I didn't miss out on all the birthday parties. I didn't miss out on so much. And I think a lot of people reevaluated throughout COVID. I mean, that's a lot of people in a lot of industries when they realized that, you know, jobs perhaps weren't as safe as they thought. And people kind of figured out what was important to them. And for a lot of people, I think it was sort of, you know, a bit more time at home, a bit more quality of life over just earning the big bucks. So yeah, and also one thing that I did see in the last couple of years, my social media feeds, there are so many babies. So many women went home, had babies, and thought, yeah, no time to waste, let's just get on with it then. And you know, there wasn't much else to do in the pandemic for many people, evidently, but the amount of babies in the past 2 years that have cropped up, and we all know, as awful as it is, once you have a baby in this industry, you can't work on a yacht anymore. It seems to be that's your career over, which is another entirely different area to discuss or address another time. But yeah, there's women tend to have a shelf life if they want to have a baby and have a family.
To attract crew, what do yacht management companies need to do, and what do yacht owners need to do in order to bring those people into the industry in order to assure 10 years from now they've got crew on board?
I think, well, with regards to retention, they need to look at the big picture, which is discussing rotation, packages, shore leave, career plans with their crew, sitting down and putting together like a 3 to 5 year contract, for example, and working with the crew to improve their skills, improve their qualifications, to keep them with them, to have mentoring schemes on board, to look after their crew and not just expect everything and not give anything back. I think, that's in a nutshell, it's a huge topic, as I'm sure you're aware, but with regards to attracting people into the industry, I think we need to look at other industries on land and try and make it more attractive. Because I don't think as many people now, like the kind of new generation, they're not really as interested in the big adventure that perhaps the previous generation were, who were would work for nothing and just to travel the world, just to live the dream, just to see this, see that. They're a bit more focused on, you know, settling down, what can I buy, what can I afford, what can I do in that respect. They're different, you know, as we are to the generation before and so on. But I think people need to perhaps look at the big picture and look at perhaps 3 to 5 year plans. And as I said before, like maybe an apprenticeship, maybe looking at how do we get people into this industry to stay. And like you have a cadetship in the commercial sector where people will work their way through their courses. And that's for all departments. You know, we've got the PYA guest stuff, the interior crew, just as we've got the deck courses and the engineering courses. You know, just looking at how we can encourage them to stay for 2 to 3 years per yacht rather than just hire for a season and then ditch and find someone else.
I remember 17 years ago, the amount of people that got into yachting simply because they could make a lot of money. And at that time, it wasn't necessarily taxed as well. They didn't have to pay for all these tickets. So they made a lot of money.
Serious money, yeah.
Fast forward to 2022. Now, they have to pay taxes because they're going to get found out. And if they get found out for not paying taxes, they got to pay the last, I don't know how many decades or whatever.
Yeah.
But on top of that, I don't think there's much of a change in salary from 17 years ago than there is today.
Yeah, that's the thing. The salaries haven't gone up with inflation. I mean, I think in the article I wrote, I used a couple of examples, like, you know, because we can all say inflation is this percent, that percent, and it's all relative. Yeah, well, let's look at the price of a car in the United States in, say, 2007. And I can't remember the exact figures, but basically an average brand new car in the US in 2007 was X amount. And now, 15 years later, it's literally double. You know, have salaries doubled? no, not even close. And you know, the price of a house, I think in the UK in 2007, the average house price was £180,000. And now it's £280,000, which is about 60% increase. Have salaries reflected that? No, they haven't. Not even close. And as you said, on top of that, everyone's got to declare their taxes, and it's only certain countries like the UK who have the seafarers tax, where you pay, you know, a teeny tiny amount because you're not there very much. Whereas countries like Spain and France and Italy are like, no, please give us all your money, all of the monies, you know, they'll take everything they can in tax. So there's not really that, you know, it's not as attractive when you look at you could be losing 40% of your paycheck and you're missing out on so much of your home life. You know, and if you have a partner and kids at home, you know, I think there comes a time in people's lives where they start thinking, is this actually worth it anymore? And you compare to what you could earn Monday to Friday, 9 to 5, versus working all those hours on the yachts. Because, you know, let's face it, it is not a 40-hour working week. It's never been a 40-hour working week on a yacht, despite what we're trying to do with MLC and hours of rest. It's always going to be working above and beyond. And, you know, if you calculate your hourly rate based on what you've worked in the season, I would recommend people don't do that, because it's heartbreaking. You know, it's like, dear God, what are we doing here? But we've got to make it more financially attractive. You know, if that's maybe it's more bonus schemes to get people to stay on the boats longer, you know, another end of season bonus and then a 13th month or something like that. But I think the salaries are starting to shift, thankfully, finally. There's still a long way to go there, but a lot of the salaries are starting to move up because of demand, and rightly so. You know, if you want the best, you're going to have to pay a little bit more these days. And I think I'm not alone in saying that it's high time that the salaries did start to move, because, as you say, they've been the same for years and years and years. I mean, 10 years ago, the salaries weren't much different to what they are now. So we really do need something to push them up a little bit and, you know, make them a bit more relevant. And especially right now, we've got a cost of living crisis internationally. We've got to make the industry attractive or we're not going to keep crew.
Well, I did the calculations yesterday, and you can start working at McDonald's in Canada. You make more money per month working full-time at McDonald's, starting out 40 hours a week, than you do as green crew on board.
Yeah, I mean,
and you go home every night, you've got weekends off, and you have holidays, you get holiday pay, you have benefits, there's a benefit structure, you're covered under law. You don't have to go out and get 15,000 euros worth of tickets. You just rock up, you put in your application form, they look at it, they make sure you've got two arms and two legs generally, and they hire you and stick you in a green cap. You know, whereas on a yacht, they want to see a full picture, they want to make sure that you're a certain weight, they want to make sure you're a certain height, you're a certain age, you've got so many tickets, you've got a certain look, you've got the right visas. I mean, the list goes on. And then once you pass all of that, you go on board and you work a job that literally is 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Yeah, that's devastating, isn't it?
Yeah.
That is absolutely devastating when you drill down and look at the numbers and you put it like that. I mean, yeah, this is a huge, huge problem. You know, and this is what I was trying to bang on about in my article. It's like, there's a lot of people complain about, you know, oh, we haven't got the right crew, you know, they're not the hard workers we want, they're not this, they're not that. And it's like, no. They've got expectations. It's like they want to earn more than they would at McDonald's. You know, why is that so bad? They want the new kids want decent working and living conditions. Why is that bad? You know, why are we not paying people what they're worth? And that's across the board from junior to senior. You know, we've got to look after each other and not just... There is a little bit of an attitude I have seen quite a lot from some of the older crew. It's like, well, back in my day, you know, when I was a lad, I did this and I had to sleep on the floor and it's like, yeah, but you chose to and you really shouldn't have had to. If I took my first job ever and they're like, yeah, well, here's the floor, I would have told them where to go. It's, you know, no, I'm good, thanks. I don't want to sleep on the floor and I would like to eat my food off a plate, thank you. it's not a rites of passage. We shouldn't have to be treated, you know, so poorly. What? And I don't really understand that. I don't think it makes you a better person or a better sailor because you slept on the floor. Come on. You know, this is 2022.
Well, and let's be honest. I mean, if somebody came to you and said, I'm going to give you 10,000 euros a month to sleep on the floor, you just might consider that, right?
Well, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, that is what they have to consider because, yeah. You know, back in their day, they were getting paid more money than anybody they knew out there to go and work on this boat and sleep on the floor. Why not? Yeah. Well, then, if that's what you expect from these crew, then you make sure that the incentive package is enough money that they're like, hell yeah, I'll be sleeping on the floor for the next 10 years if I'm going to be getting paid this much.
Yeah.
Sure.
And I'll use that money for my chiropractic bills. It'll be absolutely fine, you know.
But it's true. You know, there are things, I mean, there are things you won't do for money, but there are people that will do certain things for money.
Yeah. No judgment. Fair play to them. Fair play to them people.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's absolutely fine. Yeah.
But, you know, they can't sit there and look at these kids now and say they're not willing to work because you're paying them literally, you know, pennies. You get what you pay for. You want monkeys? Yep. You pay peanuts.
Well, that's it. And, you know, if I've heard people say, well, what about, you know, when I worked on this and onshore, when I was, I don't know, like even like an architect's assistant, I worked for peanuts. It's like, yeah, but they spent a great deal of time training you and mentoring you. So if that's something they can offer instead of, or as well as, you know, a decent living wage, but I think the senior crew do have to accept responsibility for the training. We have to train them. We are not getting these, you know, new crew are not ready out of the packet to send up the mast or to go and serve the boss silver service. You've got to spend some time training. And I keep hearing, I don't have time to train. We're super busy. We've got so much on. It's like, well, yeah, but someone trained you. Someone spent that time to make you the, you know, the seafarer you are now. So we've got to pay it forward and we have to invest in the next generation. And, you know, I don't, obviously financially is one thing, but we have to invest our time and, you know, training, mentoring, looking out for, helping and guiding. And we've got to look after them a bit. And and maybe if this generation is different to yours, then that's okay because our generation was different to theirs. You know, we have to adapt. If we're going to survive as a species, we have to adapt. So, you know, it's the same for yachting. Like every other industry has had to adapt and make changes and overcome difficulties through this pandemic and, you know, to accommodate changes in generational beliefs and expectations. We've got to do it as well or we're going to get left behind. You know, otherwise we're not going to find seafarers. We're going to find these kids will go off and do cadetships and go and work on the commercial sector. So we have to make changes or we're going to sink.
Yeah, because I mean, you know, I think a lot of the times, one of the biggest issues is between crew, it's that layer between crew and owner. You know, that layer has gotten ever wider and ever wider, filled with ever so many people. And sometimes it's to their advantage to continue to pay the crew what they're paying them while reaping the rewards. Mm-hmm. And that's something that needs to be looked at, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot going on in our industry, and you know, I think it's up to all of us, you know, who've been in the industry a little while, on whatever level that might be, shore based, it might be managers, owners, it could be captains, chief stewardesses, engineers. We've all got to look at what we can do to improve it, and also that will, you know, I think people should fight for their rights a little more. You know, don't be afraid to speak up. The worst that they can say is no. You know, if you want rotation or if you want, you know, a salary increase, ask for it. There's enough jobs out there. There are enough jobs out there right now for everyone, for people not to struggle or to suffer or to be in a position that makes them unhappy. So.
Well, if they want to read your article in its entirety, because I would recommend it, it is stock full of some really valuable information and a few
controversial
hard to swallow points, but you know what, that's what makes us grow. Where can they find that article?
It's in the last edition of On Board magazine, the French published yachting magazine. And it's also on my website on elcruco.com and my other website, ericalay.com. So it's all on there. It's all linked. It's everywhere. But yeah, I mean, overall, the feedback I got from the article was super positive. And a lot of people said, you know, it gave them a lot to think about. I did have a couple of captains come back to me and say after reading it, they've had a good think and they've hired inexperienced crew with view to training them up, which gave me all the warms and, you know, all the warm and fuzzy feelings. Because if I can make just a little bit of change, it makes it all worthwhile. You know, I did have a couple of negative posts about it, but one was from a guy on Palmer Yacht Crew who doesn't even use his real name. So I suspect he's a troll. He was just looking for trouble. So, you know, I didn't worry about that one. And another one was from a captain who, bless his heart, only works a few months a year and then he's on full pay on holiday for the rest of it. So, you know, again, I don't think crew training is really on his radar. You know, yeah. Fair play to him, but... You know,
this applies to on land too. I mean, you're seeing these corporations hiring for whatever position it is, and you know, you have to have loads of experience, and it's an internship.
Yeah.
How does that work? You know, we're going to offer you, we're going to take you on. It's going to be free labor because we're such an amazing company, and we're going to train you how to work within our company. But you should have invested at least 200,000 euros. In your own career first.
Yeah. And they wonder why that, you know, the new generations can't afford to buy houses. It's like, have you seen the size of their student debt? You know, it's incredible. It is incredible.
Yeah.
But those sort of companies now are getting laughed at a lot. And the good ones have recognized and have realized that if we want good people, we're going to pay them. We can afford to pay them. So let's look after our employees and then they'll look after us. And, you know, hopefully that will come across in the yachting industry as well soon.
Well, fingers crossed. I would recommend everybody check it out, no matter what stage of career you are within the yachting industry, and whether it be land-based or you are one of those sailors that is looking to either up your career, fix your career, or change career and captains in yacht management. Anyway, Erica, I want to say thank you for your time.
Thank you so much, Rhea. Always a pleasure.
This has been Erica Lay with El Crew Co. My name is Rhea. I have been your host. We'll see you again next time.